Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Revelation is a book that shows us the coming of the Lord Jesus as no other book in the Bible. It's mentioned in the very first chapter in verse 7. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. This verse is the subject of untold Bible studies. But just 2 verses later is a verse that is often overshadowed by verse 7. Yet it's a verse that we should surely not miss if we are those who really love his coming. Dick Taylor has joined us today as we continue to look at the incredible first chapter of the book of Revelation. Welcome back, Brother Dick.
Thanks, Brother Chris. And this program today really helps us to know how to be prepared for the Lord's coming.
Yeah, when we get on this subject of Revelation, of course, most people are interested in finding out and learning about and talking about the Lord's coming. But as you said, this verse, we can't miss this if we really want to participate in his coming.
That's true.
Well, let's look at this verse, Dick, and it's Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. It says, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and endurance in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Dick, we're going to look at an account in the book of Acts that'll help us understand this verse today. It's the story of the Apostle Paul and how he persecuted the church prior to his well-known encounter with the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Review this story for us.
Yeah, here we have Paul, as Saul at that time, persecuting the Christians, the believers who were on the earth.
Right.
Apparently, to him, Jesus was dead and in the grave. But actually, as he persecuted the believers and as he was on his way to Damascus to kill, imprison, and persecute some more believers in Christ, the Lord appeared to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I like the recovery version footnote. It's a big help on this verse, eventually showing us that this me is a wonderful me. Who's this wonderful me? It's the Jesus who was no longer in the grave. He's resurrected. He's ascended. He's in the heavens. But at the same time, he'd been poured out as the Spirit and was living on the earth in the believers. So every time Saul persecuted one of the believers, one of those genuine Christians, then he was actually persecuting Jesus. So the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. So we can see by this account and also by the verse that you read, Chris, just as Jesus was persecuted on this earth, so Jesus also living in his believers is also going to suffer persecution. All of these believers who follow this marvelous suffering Jesus will also suffer as he did. But what a privilege that we could be part of this wonderful me, this wonderful Jesus, the one who's not only the head in the heavens, but also living in us to make us his body on the earth. May we follow him till his kingdom is on this earth and he could come back.
Dick, that's really critical when these times come for us to realize that we are not experiencing our persecution. We're really partaking in his persecution. That changes the equation totally, doesn't it?
It surely does. And it's just like this verse you read. It's the tribulation that's in Jesus. Praise the Lord, we get to partake of the same tribulation he did, not in an imitation way, but just by being one with him, being in Jesus.
Well, let's join Witness Lee now, Dick. We're going to really look at this phrase that you just spoke. Fellow partaker in the tribulation in Jesus. Here's Witness Lee.
In verse 9 says, I, John, your brother, the partaker, the joint partaker in the tribulation in Jesus. The persecution we are suffering is the persecution of Jesus. We are suffering Jesus' persecution. Why? Because, number one, when he was on this earth, he suffered the same thing. Number two, while we are suffering today, he is suffering within us and with us. And that day when Saul of Tarsus was running to Damascus to arrest all Jesus' colors, the Lord Jesus knocked him down, fled to the earth. And the Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why you persecute me? Saul said, Oh, Lord, who are you? The Lord Jesus told him, I am Jesus.
Amen.
Saul of Tarsus never thought, never understood that he was persecuting Jesus. He saw Jesus was in the grave, in the tomb. He was not persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting Stephen. He was persecuting Peter and John, so many other disciples. He never realized that he was persecuting Jesus. But to Jesus, he was persecuting him, because Jesus, by then, was in John, in Peter, in Stephen. And Jesus was one with all his members.
Amen.
How about today? When they persecute us, they're persecuting Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus is one with us. Jesus is in us. Hallelujah. We do have the comfort. We are suffering the persecution of Jesus. We are joint partakers in Jesus' tribulation. If our honesty, our faithfulness to the Lord's testimony would cause any kind of suffering, would throw up some kind of persecution, that is the persecution in Jesus. And that is Jesus' suffering. I, John, your brother, the joint partaker in the tribulation in Jesus. If you are waiting for his coming back, you have to be one of the partakers of his suffering. You must be a partaker of the suffering in Jesus.
Dick, I was thinking, there are so many topics in this book that are extraordinary. It's easy to overlook and miss the subtle things. But this is typical of so many books that we've seen opened up in this ministry and this life study that we're going through. It's the subtle things that often contain the riches. And I really think this verse highlights that very, very much. Being a partaker of the suffering in Jesus is not something that we should lightly esteem or overlook, is it?
It surely should not be, Chris, because Isaiah 53, one of the most precious chapters in the entire Bible, that prophetic word makes it very clear that Jesus is the suffering Jesus. So even the term Jesus denotes suffering and sorrowful one. So we who are his believers, we want to be his duplication. So we want to be those who participate in the sufferings that are in Jesus. They're not just our own sufferings, but it's because we follow him, we love him, and we're one with him. So to be his testimony, we will be partaking of the sufferings and sorrows. And I appreciate, Chris, that when you look at the life of Jesus on the earth, his sufferings came mainly from religion. And what's religion, as we've mentioned, I know I've mentioned a number of times, I got a lot of help from Brother Lee, and that is, religion is just worshiping God without Christ as your enjoyment and Christ as your reality. So the Lord suffered a lot, not from at the hands of sinners necessarily, just the typical sinners, but from religion. Just having a formality, having an organization, having rules, having regulations. For example, there was a regulation about the Sabbath, but the Lord broke the Sabbath. Why? Because Christ is the reality of the Sabbath. Apart from him, you don't ever have rest. So when he came, you don't need that old Sabbath anymore. That's just a shadow of him. Christ is the reality of genuine rest. But because he broke it, he's the reality of it. Religion persecuted him. They wanted the Sabbath, but they didn't want him. But we are those who want him. We want to be one with him. And if you're one with him, you're also going to suffer persecution. That persecution will probably come from religion. You know, with Christ, you have the reality. With religion, you just have emptiness and vanity. So as we follow this suffering Jesus, and we are one with him, and we are in him in our daily life, even participating in him and joining him, we also will suffer persecution because we're going the same way he did. We're here for his testimony. We're not here for some kind of organization, some kind of formality, some rules and regulations or a system. We are here all together for the testimony of Jesus. John said he's on that island because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So we're a fellow partaker in the tribulation in Jesus for his testimony, his reproduction on this earth. And I appreciate John 15:18 very much, Chris. The Lord inoculated the believers right after he told them, abide in me and I in you, we'll bear much fruit. Verse 18 says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before you. And 20, listen to this, remember the word which I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. May we be faithful to the Lord. This is the way to prepare for his coming. He was the suffering Jesus. He was persecuted. But praise the Lord, we can be a fellow partaker of the tribulation in Jesus to be his testimony and to be ready for his coming.
Dick, let's be very clear. We're not advocating that we go out and look for trouble and look for persecution and look for suffering. But the point is that if we are really abiding in him, and taking him as our enjoyment and as our way of living the Christian life, persecution will automatically follow.
That's absolutely correct, Chris, because we're not here imitating, trying to suffer, this kind of thing. We just follow him, enjoy him, we're one with him. We will participate in the sufferings that are in Jesus.
Well, Dick, there's a couple more key words in this verse. Let's look at the next one, and that word is kingdom. It says, your brother and fellow partaker in the kingdom. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The divine life in John chapter 3 brings in the kingdom in John's Revelation, chapter 1, verse 9. This kingdom comes from John 3, 5. To be born by the Spirit or of the Spirit into the kingdom. This is the very kingdom which John refers to in Revelation 1:9. How could you be John partaker in this kingdom unless you have been reborn into it? But after being reborn into it, you have to stay in it. If you stay in the kingdom and live in the kingdom, you will never fight with your husband. You will never fight with your wife. Rather, you will never fight with anyone. The enemy stirs you up to fight, but the ruling of the heavenly kingdom will hold you back from any kind of fighting. A joint partaker in the kingdom of Jesus. Today, the kingdom in Jesus is a kingdom of suffering. So, Matthew 5 says what? Says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are in the kingdom. The whole humanity today is unrighteous. If you go along with unrighteousness, people welcome you. If you stay to be righteous, people say, what kind of person are you? You will suffer the persecution. I tell you, if you are such a person suffering of being righteous, you are in the kingdom.
Dick, the Gospel of Matthew, the book in Scripture really portraying the kingdom of God in a doctrinal way, in the way of truth. But John's writings concerning the kingdom are not from a doctrinal side.
No.
They're from the life side.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at for a minute at this connection between the divine life introduced by John in his Gospel and the kingdom as he brings it in here in his Revelation.
It always helps me, Chris, to realize that to be in a kingdom, you need to have the life of that kingdom. You know, to be a vegetable, you need to have the vegetable life. To be a dog, you need to have a dog life. To be a human, you need the human life. To be in the kingdom of God, you must have God's life. You must have the divine life. So there's a great connection here. And as surely as you have the divine life, you also have the divine nature with the divine ruling. Many things that you used to be able to do because you're just a sinful, fallen, satanic man, now you have the divine life with the divine nature. You have the wonderful King Jesus in you, so you can't do them anymore. And because you go that way, maybe many in the world will not like you. Mm-hmm. They will persecute you mm-hmm. because you take the way of righteousness.
Right.
The way of righteousness is Christ Himself, who is the King, now living inside your spirit. When you follow Him, pay attention to Him, the world, because it's just a system of unrighteousness under the control of Satan, will persecute you. But the Lord's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. I like Romans 14, 17, don't you, Chris? It says the church is not just eating and drinking. The kingdom of God really is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So to have this marvelous Christ in us as the divine life with the divine nature is to have the ruling one within us. I still appreciate the example that the kingdom is a word composed of two syllables, king and dom.
Mm-hmm.
When the king sows himself into us as the divine life and grows in us, then you have the king put together with his people, the dom, you have the kingdom. This marvelous king is inside of us, ruling in such a wonderful, constant, unceasing way that we might be people who are trained by him, perfected by him, disciplined by him, and be his testimony, his kingdom on this earth, preparing for his coming back. We surely want this king to come. And that's why we pray, O Lord, thy kingdom come.
Amen. Dick, there's one more word that's highlighted in the verse that we're focusing on today. That's verse 9 in chapter 1. And that word is endurance. We partake in his tribulation, his kingdom, and in his endurance in Jesus. Let's go back to Witness Lee for our final section today.
For the tribulation and for the kingdom, we need endurance. Today, we have to realize, for the Lord, even today, he is still enduring. You just consider how much opposition the human beings render to the Lord Jesus. People today just mock at Jesus. The Lord Jesus, you know, on the one hand, is sitting in the heavens. On the other hand, he is being mocked. He is being opposed. He is being persecuted. The Lord Jesus, sitting on the throne, has been mocked nearly 20 centuries. He never fought back. He was sitting there, suffering all the attacks. This is the endurance of Jesus. Jesus endured the suffering. Even today, while he is in the heavens, he is still enduring. Amen. Now, when we fellowship with him, when we abide in him, surely we partake of his endurance. Then we endure. We just endure. We endure the persecution. We endure the rumors. We endure the rejection. We endure the oppositions. And we are here waiting for his comeback, being disciplined, trained, prepared, qualified. This is good. Are you waiting for Jesus coming back?
Yes.
You have to realize the best way for you to wait for him to come back is that you have to be here in his tribulation, in his kingdom, and in his endurance. We have to be the joint partakers in Jesus' tribulation, kingdom, and endurance.
Well, Dick, I don't think there can be any dispute. The Bible really reveals to us that as his believers, his followers, the one who really is the persecuted one, we also may very well be called upon to participate in that persecution, that rejection, and slander. This was the path that he took. I remember in our life study in Matthew, we called it the pathway of glory. This was the path he took to glory.
Amen.
And we are to follow him. How can we have a way, Dick, to endure such tribulation if that becomes our situation?
There's no other way than to abide in him and to have constant, unceasing fellowship with him. I appreciate 2 Timothy 4:22, don't you, Chris? It says, "The Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you." And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." The only way we can have the same endurance he has, in fact, he is the endurance, is to practice to be one spirit with him. The more we're in the intimacy with him, abiding in him, having fellowship with him, then we're able to enjoy him as our very endurance. Let's face it, none of us apart from Jesus has any endurance. But praise the Lord, we are fellow partakers of the endurance that is in Jesus. This really prepares us for his coming. I like the fact that Hebrews 12 is so clear. It says, we're running a race in chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, we must run with endurance the race that is set before us. And it tells us in verse 2, how? How can we run with endurance? Because we also will be persecuted, will be mocked, will be made fun of. Look how much mockery has gone against Christ. He's still suffering today. May we all cry out together, even in this broadcast, "Come, Lord Jesus," just like the book of Revelation ends. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Dick, I appreciate you brought up Hebrews 12, verse 2. I can't say how many times I've been rescued by that verse and looking away unto him. Dick, I've had some looking away during our time together today. Appreciate your being here. Hope that it's been such a relief to you also.
Oh, not only a relief, but a real satisfaction. And Chris, I just feel we're a little bit more prepared for his coming. Let's keep looking away unto Jesus.
Amen. Well, our time is up for today. We have the printed life study messages from the Life Study of Revelation, a lot of other resources on these topics, and some tremendous portions available. So do contact us, and please do join us again as we continue to look away unto Jesus from the Life Study of Revelation. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.